Alrighty, let's get started tonight in James. James 1. I know it's ridiculous to say this, but I think I'm going to be short tonight. Starting in verse 17. It says there that James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's pray. Father, we come to James here tonight, and a word to look at here, Father, and some things that surround that. We pray that you might bless us to our hearts. We, Lord, labor here, Father. We know much of the word of truth, and yet there's always truth, Father, that has escaped our attention at times. I pray, Father, you'd help us tonight have something to get a hold of that will help us live a victorious Christian life and a fruitful one. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want you to see, notice verse 21, and just call your attention for now to one word. See that word? It says, wherefore lay apart. Think about the word lay. Just for a few minutes. You know, Lord has fixed things where, you got thinking about this, Lord made you so you can only carry so much. That's true probably spiritually as well as physically. I can carry in a pretty good armload of wood, but once you get past four or five sticks of wood, you're probably going to drop it before you get in. And Lord just has some things fixed that way. You only have two hands. So, a carpenter, to get done what he needs to get done, needs a tool belt. He's got to have a hammer if he's right-handed over here, and probably a tape measure in a pouch by his belt buckle, and speed square and nails in his left hand, a pencil and razor knife in his right hand. And he's got to have a tool belt to put all that stuff at. So, same thing with an electrician. Because if you had to always be laying stuff down, you leave stuff laying around and you never know where anything at all is, right? Yeah. Well, yeah, I was thinking about this and thinking about Mars and my trip back to China a few years back. And you've seen stuff, I'm sure, probably on the internet here and there. You've probably seen, the bicycle trundling along with 7,000 plastic milk jugs, somehow attached to the bicycle. That is a reality in China. It's amazing what kind of stuff a bicycle can carry. But the bottom line is, Lord has it fixed where you can only carry so much stuff. You have to lay your stuff somewhere because you only have two hands. Maybe you never thought about this. I really had never had. Think about going home and how much furniture you have in your house that simply provides you a place to lay stuff. After all, you can only carry so much. I mean, by the time you've carried, think how stupid you'd look leaving the house. You got some deodorant and a razor in your right hand. And where are you going to put the light bulbs and the dog leash and a stick of wood? I mean, you'd absolutely look like a moron leaving the house with everything you own, trying to leave the house with everything you own. You have to lay some stuff down. You've got counters at home. You have dressers. You have bureaus. You have end tables. You have living room tables, dining room tables, probably breakfast nook tables, everything. All your bookshelves, all the stuff where you keep your loose change, and you throw your wallet and your keys in this little bin with all the loose change. All that stuff is nothing more than a place to lay your stuff because you can't carry everything around. Right? I know this is very ingenious, very insightful. But I've got a pulpit here. That's a place to lay my Bible and my notes because trying to shuffle all this at the same time all morning and all evening would get really old. You have a bank where you lay up your money and where you lay up your retirement account, your money market, your CD, if you know what that even is. Music stands to lay your music so you can read them. Just go. Think how stupid an Old West gunslinger would look shooting a guy and then without a holster having to just carry his gun around. I mean, he looks stupid trying to squint meanly and light a cigarette with his six-shooter in his hand. Look like a moron, right? Folks, you got to have a place to lay your stuff, right? Your life, in some ways, can be looked at as built around laying your stuff down. I'll go home tonight. I'll walk in the door and go back to my study and lay my stuff down. All right? So I was thinking about that a little bit, and maybe the Lord's trying to teach you something spiritually. That's a lot of your problem. You try to carry too much stuff around. You don't lay the right stuff down in the right place. So I want to look about that, and I'm going to talk to you about where to lay stuff for just a little while. It's a very simple ideas. I just noticed something reading through James the other day. Notice in verse 21 once again, wherefore it says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, says there to lay something apart. It's not good to carry around filthiness nor superfluity of naughtiness. It needs to be laid somewhere. The Bible says lay it apart. It is the only thing in the Bible that it says to lay apart somewhere. Okay? Now, I notice here in this passage, by the way, this is kind of one of those dual-edged passages, a dispensational passage and all that, but for our sakes here tonight, you can read it two ways. Verse 18, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. In verse 18, somebody's already saved. Okay, that'd be you. On the other hand, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. There, somebody's not saved, but they can be saved if they'll lay aside those things and receive the engrafted Word. So, kind of a dual-edged sword there. I notice here, verse 21, lay apart. Now, I got thinking about that, and I got thinking that actually, when you stop and consider it, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness is a pretty good description of repentance. Okay? If you're saved, back in verse 18, you'll still need to repent. No matter what the hyperdispensationalists say, you still need to pray. You still need to resolve your relationship with God in the sense that just like a husband and wife, if they get crossways with each other and aren't talking, it's not right till they get the matter settled and start talking again. That's not hard. All right? So in verse 18, somebody there is already saved. Verse 21 again, there's somebody there that needs to lay apart these things so that they can receive the engrafted Word which is able to save their souls. So I got thinking about that, and you know, it said lay those things apart. That's kind of the opposite of sanctification. If you have something that you don't want to get dirty and nasty and filthy, you take it and you set it aside, perhaps set it up so that it doesn't get filthy or nasty or dirty or broken. That's sanctification, something set apart, right? Well, this is kind of the opposite from the opposite end. This is you taking something nasty and filthy, something that's superfluously naughty, and setting it apart. That way, it won't mess something else up. Little House on the Prairie. You always see whichever squirt kid that is running out the door to the outhouse. Now, thing about that is there's something that's not put in the show. And that is, in Minnesota, in December, at 2 in the morning, you don't want to be running out to the outhouse. So what they never show in Little House on the Prairie is the fact that they used to have something called chamber pots. And I'm not going to go into great detail, just relax, moms, but they used to have chamber pots. And if you got up at 3 in the morning on a cold December morning, you didn't go to the outhouse, you used the chamber pot. Well, obviously, the chamber pot needs to be emptied in the morning. So you pick up and carry the chamber pot outside. Meanwhile, Ma Ingalls wants you to bring in some eggs when you come back in the house, and Pa meets you and has a bucket full of milk. Guess what? You don't carry a chamber pot, eggs, and milk all at the same time. Some might, but I would prefer my milk unmixed, thank you. So what do? You're going to take the chamber pot, the old nasty pot aside. You're going to set it apart and away. It's kind of the opposite of sanctification. You're going to set it away so you can bring in the stuff you're going to make your breakfast with. All right? If you got a cat, put the cat down before you bring the macaroni and cheese to the table. Right? Okay. That's laying apart something. Now, I got thinking about that, and you know, why do you set something filthy and superfluously naughty apart? You do so it's out of the way. You do so something pure, something you don't want corrupted, doesn't rub up against it and get contaminated, right? You want it for that reason. You want it so it won't interfere with something. Now, I said this is kind of a pretty good description of repentance, and here's what I mean. Look in Matthew 21 real quick. Folks, you need to lay some stuff away. You can't carry everything. So you can start by laying apart filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Just practical stuff, all right? You take something you need to get rid of, and you set it off to the side, far away from your... Keep your pure stuff and your filthy stuff separate. Take the filthy stuff and set it apart, away. Look in Matthew 21, and I've always looked at this passage. Look in verse 31. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first, Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye, you Pharisees and publicans, believed him not. But the publicans, or rather the Pharisees and whoever else, the Sadducees, I guess. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, you Pharisees, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Now, I said that about repentance because I don't necessarily believe that repentance is a separate stage. You know, you go through gospel tracts and they say, well, realize, repent, believe, and then pray, right? I don't hold that repentance is necessarily a separate, distinct stage. It is an intimate and integral part of believing. In this passage right here, these Pharisees could not believe until they had first repented. It's part of belief. The idea here is that you have to lay aside. It's how you get saved. Most of us that got saved, there came a point in our lives where we were desperate enough that we had to lay apart our prejudices, our religion, and our sins. And in that process of laying that aside, now we were clear to believe and receive, right? I believe that is the goal of repentance. Now, it's also true as far as getting right as well as getting saved, all right? Guess what? You can't carry, we're talking about laying stuff down. You cannot carry both malice and Christian charity at the same time. You need to set aside the malice, the filthy stuff, right? Before you can genuinely have charity. You cannot carry around prejudice and still love the truth at the same time. You need to lay aside, lay apart the prejudice. See what I'm saying? What did the Lord say? He said, how hardly shall they that love riches enter into the kingdom of God, right? You cannot love and serve mammon and truly believe thoroughly on Jesus Christ. Those are two different gods. You see what I'm saying? All right, my point is, you need to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. All right, that's a good description of repentance. All right, something else I have to say here. Look in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and 1 Peter 2. Hebrews 12 and 1 Peter chapter 2. So we've looked at laying something apart. You need to lay the filthy stuff apart so it doesn't contaminate the pure stuff. And that is a pretty good description of repentance. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, notice, lay aside. Not lay apart, lay aside. Look in 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You're told there twice to lay aside. All right, you need to lay something aside so as preparation to both run the race and grow. Right? Now it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says there to let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So first of all, there are things you need to lay aside that will affect how you run the race. It's no new idea that I have that a runner can't be carrying around a 100-pound, you know, backpack and still expect to win the race. It's no terribly insightful genius there. It says there, though, that there's two things to lay aside. One is just weight, every weight. That weight is not necessarily sin. Okay? So I need to get this straight. Maybe Christianity, modern Christianity, needs to get this straight, and that is the fact that there are things you need to lay aside to run that really don't have anything to do with sin. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 says that all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not... What's the rest of that? No, it's... Look in 1 Corinthians. I should be able to finish that, but why can't I? 1 Corinthians 10:23. But all things edify not. That's what I was trying to pull out of my memory. Okay? There are things that you need to lay aside that are not sin. Modern Christianity does not understand that. They always want sin defined so they'll know what they can do and can't do. And when it is defined, they'll still try to do more than is right. All right? My point is, there are things you are called to lay aside. There, not all your liberties need to be carried. Some of them need to be laid aside. Not all of the things that you allow yourself to indulge in, that God doesn't say specifically are wrong, some of those things need to be laid aside for the race that you have to run and for the fight that you have to fight. Look, for instance, in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, you know this really well, I know. 2:4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Nobody ever said that the affairs of this life were absolute abominable sin. Okay? But as much as possible, a soldier strips himself of as many of those things as he can so that he can fight unhindered and without encumbrance, right? Now look, you're a Christian. You should be in the midst of trying to run the race and fight the fight. My point is you need to lay aside the weight, okay? Some of that weight is not sin. Now some of that weight is sin. For instance, it says in Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You need to lay those things aside as preparation to run and grow. Look in 1 Peter again. 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore laying aside all malice. Okay, malice is sin. Guile, not too many righteous uses for guile, although I can think of a couple in the Word of God for that matter. And hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Okay, those things are sins. Now it says there, in order for you to run that race, you have got to lay aside every weight and the sin. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, you have some sins mentioned. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If you don't lay aside the weights and the sins, you're not going to run a race and you're not going to fight a fight. Unless you lay aside these sins in 1 Peter 2:1, you are not going to desire the sincere milk of the Word so that you can grow. Got news for you. Malice gets in the way of you growing. Guile gets in the way of you growing. You cannot be a crafty, cunning, wise, manipulator, Jacob type, and grow in Jesus Christ like you should. In order for you to prepare to run and to fight and to grow in Christ, there are things that must be laid aside. This is a Christian thing, right? There are things that just keep reattaching themselves like barnacles to you. Maybe you can think of something like that with malice. But you will always be tempted to handle your affairs with some guile. Okay, you're going to sell a car in the one ad, if there is even such a thing anymore. Okay, Craigslist, whatever. And you know that one of the pistons, one of the piston heads is messed up. What will you try to do? You will try to avoid dealing with it. Okay, a car is one thing. I'm not saying it's right. Folks also try to deal with God that way. Folks also try to deal with the saints that way. You cannot grow as you should with guile. It says there, all guile, hypocrisies. Folks, hypocrites don't really grow. There's a hypocrite in all of us. I've long said, smile whether you feel like it or not. Okay? That means I'm encouraging hypocrisy in some people's eyes, right? The point is, there are things in our nature that keep coming back to connect themselves to us like barnacles. Those things for you to run right and fight right and grow right have to be continually laid aside. You have to take them and lay them aside so that you can fight, so that you can run, and so that you can grow. All right? I remember reading, of course, Civil War stuff, and it's amazing what some of those soldiers carried around. First of all, there were times that the commanding general had to basically come down really hard on his officer corps, because the officer corps had, of course, privileges. They had the privileges of wagons and accoutrements and so on. So sometimes some of the more pompous officers had entire chests and boxes and, you know, luggage, basically, that had to be carried around. Everybody else is walking along with a blanket and a rifle and, you know, an ammunition pouch, and the officers are carrying around bedding and a little bit of everything else. And so they had to be limited. Sometimes the soldiers, especially in the South, during the battles of down in Georgia and in Virginia and the Tidewater, those guys sometimes were fighting and marching in 100-degree weather. Well, so some of those guys in the march would get so tired of dealing with their blankets, they would throw their blankets off and just leave them on the roadside. Well, that night in October or November, the temperature drops to 32 degrees, and all of a sudden, you have a bunch of cold, sick soldiers. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, you need to lay aside the right stuff, and you need to carry the right stuff, because you cannot carry everything. You cannot carry a chest of drawers to the battle. You just can't. You can't carry a china cabinet to a battle. You have to lay aside some things, right? Notice something else. Talking about where to lay stuff. Lay filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness apart. Lay weights and sins that will keep you from running, keep you from fighting, and keep you from growing. Lay that aside. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1:5. Now, this is something that is laid. For instance, Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith, the Colossians' faith, in Christ Jesus, and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. There are things that you got in Christ that are laid up for you in heaven. Okay, we're talking about where to lay stuff. Okay, well, it says here that God has laid some stuff up for us in heaven. Notice along that line, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. Excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now let's get down to brass tacks. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You are supposed to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That allows you to carry something pure, something worthwhile to carry, if you don't lay aside that which is in the way and that which is nasty and contaminating, then you're going to mess up the rest of your load. You need to lay aside some things. You need to lay aside weight. You need to lay aside sin so you can run, so you can fight, so you can grow. And then you need to lay up some stuff. That's an investment. You need to lay up something. The laying apart of something was akin to repentance. Don't know if it's the same or not, but it's akin to repentance. If you lay aside something, that's preparation to run and grow. Laying up something, that's an investment. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, and notice verse 17 in the context of the denunciation of the love of money and so on. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Notice, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Notice verse 19, laying up in store for themselves. Now that's not somebody that's laying up 300 pounds of potatoes against a rainy day. That is somebody that's laying up in store in heaven for the day that comes so God in time pays you back because that you have invested in the Lord's stuff. It's not money. It's not material. It's good works. It's you doing right. You are investing, right? That is laying something up. Now, you know this passage, I know. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You need to lay up. That's an investment. Okay? Most folks, or many folks, I should say, are busy trying to lay stuff up here. That's a wrong place to lay stuff. You need to know where to lay stuff. Lay filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness apart, right? Lay weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us aside so you can run, so you can fight, so you can grow. Lay up treasures in heaven. Lay up an investment in righteousness. So one day you find out you have the best insurance policy in the entire world because in the day that you need it, God gives it back to you. Right? Some of us have been there. I have the best insurance policy in the world. I'm thankful for the times, even though there have been moneyless times. I thank God for the times that the Lord has allowed me to serve Him and to lay up certain things because I know in the day that I need more than I have insurance that covers it. God distributes that. It is an investment, right? Lay up. It's an investment. All right? Along that line, while we're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and notice verse 12. Now, you need to know where you lay your stuff. You can't carry everything. You can't carry all your weight and all your sin and all your sacrifice and all your fruits and all that at the same time. You've got to lay apart some stuff, lay aside some stuff, and you certainly need to lay up some stuff. Then there's this, and a little bit of a slightly different vein, I suppose. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Now, that's like unto running that race. So we've been prepared to run that race by laying aside weight and sin. It says there in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Okay, that's laying hold of something. You know what that is? That's a vision. Laying up was an investment. Laying aside was preparation to grow and to run and to fight. Laying apart was likened to a repentance. Look in 1 Timothy 6, verse 19. We just read it, laying up in store for themselves. How? By being rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. That's why you have insurance against bad times. You have car insurance, not only because the state says you have to, but because you're laying up against the time that somebody crashes into your car, right? And it needs to be paid off. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Back in verse 12, you're told there that fighting that by fighting the fight. See, you have to be prepared to run the race and fight the fight. In order to do that, you have to lay aside the weight and the sin. So you can go and run the race and fight the fight. And having run the race and fought the fight, you lay hold on eternal life. You don't lay hold on eternal life without fighting the fight. Okay? Heaven is not real. Eternal life is not as real to you as if you get out in the fight and actually do what you're being taught. Right? Why is it so quiet in here? Goodness gracious. All right, look at something else here in verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, what has somebody done there? They have laid up so they can lay hold. Okay? That's the investment. We've been building on this all night. You can't lay hold on eternal life if you're not running the race. If you're not fighting the fight. Right? You can't lay hold on eternal life unless you've done what's necessary in laying up an investment. It's just not real. Just not real. You know what? Felt bad for the guy in a way after getting mad at him last week. That Brendan character. Of course, he was running his mouth and stuff, but you know what I'm convinced of? I'm convinced that he had convinced himself that Joseph Smith was a Latter-day prophet in sincerity and genuineness. He had invested all that time running the wrong race, fighting the wrong fight, laying up all this nonsense in fables and myths, and he's going to wind up with nothing, okay? But he's convinced he is. Now look, if somebody like that can be convinced that they have laid up necessary things, people, we as Bible believers need to know that we have laid up the right stuff in the right place, that we have prepared to run, prepared to fight, and laid up investments to lay hold on eternal life. One last thing. Look in 1 John chapter 3, and there's something else you need to know about with regard to laying something somewhere. You need to know where to lay your stuff. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Okay? Jesus Christ was loyal to us and laid down His life for us. You ought to be loyal to Him and lay down your life, first of all, for Him. Look in Romans chapter 12 real quick. I know you know the passage. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It doesn't say it in so many words, but lay down your life for Jesus Christ. I'm not necessarily saying die as a martyr. I'm saying present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? He said He laid down His life for us. We ought to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. And in, by proxy, we ought to be able to lay down our lives for Him. Okay, that laying down of life is you living a living sacrifice with your body. Right? Now notice one more thing and then we're done. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16:4. Lay down. Lay apart, lay aside, lay up, lay hold, and lay down. What do you lay down? You don't lay down the bucks. You don't lay down and take a nap. You lay down your life. Right? It's a living sacrifice. Now, it started back there in 1 John 3:16 with we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Look in Romans 16:4, though. Let's start with actually verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Now, I know it doesn't say lay down your life, but maybe you even understand this better. Lay down your own neck. Aquila and Priscilla went out on the limb for Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, the guy that was hated by all the Jews and most of the Romans, and laid down their lives, laid down their necks for him to minister to him. In some measure, you cannot lay down your life, a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ, without at times laying down your neck for the brethren. Okay? I don't know who you'd die for in this room. Probably your wife, maybe your husband, maybe your kids. I wonder if it came to it, if you'd die for one of your brethren. If so, I wonder sometimes why some of those brethren gossip about one another. You know? Lay down your life for your brethren. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like you've gossiped about them this last week. You know what I'm saying? It says there that we ought to lay down our lives, lay down our necks. That's loyalty. Now, you know, folks, I mean, part of loyalty is to Christ, and sometimes the brethren do something wrong and it has to be dealt with. Okay? But at the same time, you have brethren in this room trying to do right. Are you willing to lay down your neck for them? Okay? See, you can't carry everything. You only carry so much stuff. You got to have some place to set your deodorant, or you're going to look like a nerd walking around with a can of deodorant around in your hand. You got to have some place to put your clean underwear. Otherwise, you're going to have to walk around with it in your hand and you're going to look like a weirdo. Right? You got to have a place to lay the light bulbs. Otherwise, you're going to walk around with a box of light bulbs in your hand and you're going to look like an idiot. You got to have a place to lay stuff. We sometimes try to carry too much. The Lord has allowed you in your house to have all sorts of flat surfaces just to lay stuff down. Mail, change, your wallet, your keys, your books, name it, your magazines, your food. Your house is filled with surfaces to lay stuff down. How is it that we manage to go through so much of our spiritual lives and not know where to lay stuff spiritually? There's some stuff to be laid apart, some stuff to be laid aside, some stuff to be laid up. There's something to lay hold of, and by the way, there's something to lay down. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Pray that you'll bless some simple things that have been set forth here. Help us think and consider these things carefully, and just as we'll go home tonight, and throw some stuff on a counter and on a desk and on a table, maybe a kitchen table, maybe a breakfast table, something like that. And we're going to go somewhere and we'll lay down our wallets and our change and our keys and our cell phones and all those sort of things. Help us to be just as aware as we do that, that there are things and places to lay things spiritually. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Number 393. stands here for just a minute. Give you an opportunity to come if the Lord dealt with you about something here tonight. It's funny sometimes how little words kind of get past you. What those little words lead to as far as truth's concerned. Some things to lay apart, some things to lay aside, some things to lay up, some things to lay down, some things to lay a hold of. Some ways you could look at life, your home, your car, your furniture, from the perspective of just having a place to lay stuff. I wonder where you've laid your spiritual stuff. Look this way, we'll sing the third stanza. Dismissed tonight. Remember the directory in the back, if you would, and get that squared away with your stuff. Father, I pray that you'll bless us now as we dismiss here for the night until Wednesday. Pray you'll be with our folks that are under the weather and those especially that are laboring with this dread disease. Pray you'll be with Isaac tonight as he boards a bus to head south from here a ways and bless the new endeavor. Father, give them peace about what you want them to do. If there's some sort of a change of direction that needs to take place, pray that you might take care of that as well. Father, we love you. We need you. We appreciate a good day today. Appreciate the visitors this morning. Ask you to bless now as we're dismissed. I know folks need safety tomorrow on the roads, and as there may be a snowstorm kind of coming in the next couple of days, pray grant us safety as you have so often. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.